most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. Welcome back, everybody. This is Max and Friends. You guys are on the show tonight with Tamara Montana. We're back here with Tracy and her son, Gazi. We have got an amazing show for you guys. And let's just give a shout out to Max and let him know how much we love him. Max, I love you. And thank you so much for letting us fill in for you. Max is a little under the weather and he's getting ready to take off on a much needed vacation, actually a tour where he's doing a cooking show over in Europe. So we wish you so well, Max, over there in Europe. I know those are your heritage, your old stomping grounds. You're going to be back there just having a little taste of Italy everywhere you go. And as you guys all know, Max is a force of nature. He is out there spreading the love, sharing his heart, expanding his territory with every person that he meets, every person he comes in contact with. And I just want to honor Max right now, too, in that he has created LA Talk Radio on his Max and Friends. He has created an inner circle where people feel loved, accepted, appreciated for who they are, no matter what background you come from. There is no judgment on this radio that comes from us. And yet, at the same time, we bring forth those things that are controversial, those things that are hard to talk about sometimes, or maybe even in the shadows or talked about in the dark alleys. And one of the things that Max and I do is we shine a light in what God always intended to be beautiful, what God always intended to be a gorgeous prism of color and light and expression. And that has to do with our sexuality. And as you guys know, Max has had me co-hosting with him many, 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 many times. So I am filling in for him as the sexpert on Max and Friends on the radio station. And we have Ronan in the background. We want to give a shout out to him because without Ronan, we'd be pushing all kinds of buttons that would have us work or not work. So Ronan, thank you so much, my sweet friend. You are just like the wind beneath our wings back there. So you guys, I am just honored. I am privileged. I am blessed to bring back on this incredible radio show here, Tracy and her son, Gazi. And if you guys will remember, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about chakra sex. Chakra sex has to do with summoning all the different areas of our body when we engage in one of the most intimate acts of expression that we get to have as humans on this planet. And one of the things that Tracy and Gazi have dedicated their life to is the beautiful aspect of sexuality, the rich, the yummy, the juicy, the loving, the freedom of expression that is so rarely embraced, I think, by our culture in general, because it can be so muddied or mixed with things that are the darker side of sex, which we don't want to ignore either. But at the same time, if we were to look at sex like a diamond, okay, it's full of facets, and there's facets from every angle that you look at a diamond, right? And so one of the facets we're going to be taking a look at that do shoot out a prism of color is our chakras, right? And just to recap just a little bit from 2 weeks ago, our chakras are those light centers in our body. And we're going to bring Tracy and Ghazi up here in just a moment because they're going to go into great detail about what they have studied and what they've researched about the chakras and how we can summon them in our bodies. And it's not special to any one person. It's available to all of us. And from my understanding, from being a human sexuality professor for 7 years and looking at the different tantric experiences that we can have, part of our chakras have to do with the genitalia being the red color of the rainbow. I mean, just the raw form of the lust and the beauty and the gut. Part of the root chakra has to do with our sexual genitalia. Right. Then moving up from there is the orange, and that has to do with our emotions. Then moving up from there, we go into the yellow, into the center, into the core, into our power, into our, I think it's called the solar plexus right there sometimes too. And then if you'll move up into your heart, which is one of my absolute favorite chakras, and that's the green color, because that really represents what a lot of the work that my husband and I are into, which is heart virtues. And green is the heart color, it's the heart chakra, and our virtues emanate from that center. And then moving on up to the blue, which is right there in your throat, that is your expression, your speech, your communication. It's how you come across, and that when that is just right on, it is like, for me, it's like a neon blue, and it's gorgeous, it's beautiful. Then moving up from there, it's like a purple, you know, your spirituality, or a white in your crown chakra, but it's all those different lights. And when you're lit up in all those different areas of your body and you engage in sexual intimacy and having every single one of those chakras available to you, oh my gosh, the experience goes from one dimensional to three dimensional when you engage in sexual relations with your lover. And I love what Max said the last time. I'm just gonna pull Tracy on up here to the mic. Tracy, are you here with us?
Hello, good evening, Tamara. It's so great to be with you again. I love listening to your voice. You have an amazing your voice is like champagne bubbles. I love it.
Oh, I love that you say
that. It tickles me in a happy way.
Oh, that is so priceless. Thank you for saying that, because you just gave me goosebumps when you said that.
Yeah.
So that is so cool. Do you remember when Max was talking about the chakras and what was available to us, coming from that space where it's not just a flat experience, but it is 3D. It is dimensional. There's something so much deeper when we solicit all of those different areas as it has to do with sexuality.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, a lot of people in the United States, we're a young country. We're very young. We're only a couple hundred years old. And in other parts of the world, you've got countries, cultures, ways of thinking, practices that are thousands of years old. And so I think it's exciting that you're bringing this message to the youngsters. And I enjoy being part of that, too. If people have ever taken an acupuncture treatment, if they've ever gone to a martial arts class, if they've ever taken meditation or yoga, then you've been exposed to this idea that we have an energy body. And the chakras are how we can begin to connect with, in a conscious way, our energy body. And once we do that, then we access so much more of who we are. And the word power can maybe have good and bad connotations, but this is a good use of power, especially when we connect it with our hearts.
Tracy, see, and right back at you, sister. I love hearing your voice too, in the way that you describe it, because really, I mean, to speak about those energy bodies that is so available for us to be able to access in a way that really complements and respects the divine that's in us. You know, it's the divine in me that honors the divine in you. It's that namaste that says, yes. You know, I see you. There is something so powerful in Avatar when the one put the hand on the other person, the other one's heart, and says, you know, I see you. Intimacy. There's nothing hidden. There's nothing shameful. There's no judgment. There's raw, pure love. And it's powerful, like what you're speaking of, Tracy.
Yes, yes. You know, and we need more intimacy in our lives. With all the technological advances that we have more capacity to talk to anybody, anywhere in the world. We can watch images and hear sounds and, you know, we're connecting through this technology, through this web, and yet it really speeds things up. It's almost instantaneous. The way we live today, we're doing things instantly that our great-great-grandparents couldn't have imagined. And so the thing about intimacy is to unplug from that computer, let go of the TV set, get out of your car, you know, just and let go of all the machines and get with someone that you really care about and you know they care about you and do that practice. Do these practices of into me you see and into and I see into you. That is going to make, this is where the meaning in life comes from, is when we witness each other, when we see each other and we share energy and we share our stories and eye contact, and especially if you're with a family member and you can hug and hold hands, give somebody a foot rub, and then, of course, if you've got your lover, then it becomes full-body connection.
Mm.
We need this. We need this. We really need this more than ever.
You know, I love what you're saying because I think we're dying on the vine. Nothing replaces the human touch. You know, there's this thing called marasmus. Are you familiar with the disease where they did that experiment a long time ago in psychology where in an orphanage in Romania, they did an experiment where they just took care of the physical needs of the babies in the orphans, but they didn't give them physical loving touch. And do you know that within like 6 months, those babies that just had their, you know, their diapers changed and were handed a bottle, those babies died within 6 months. And the ones who got the physical touch are the ones who thrived. I mean, it's illegal. You know, of course, you know, today, but that study was done so many years ago and has such an impact still today. But think about that, Tracy. I mean, just the physical touch, literally, we die on the vine without it.
We do. I know of one study that had to do with baby chimps, and the babies were given a choice to be held by a real chimp, a mother chimp, but she had no food for them. And or they could crawl into a cage and get with a fake kind of a stuffed chimp that had it was set up to deliver milk. And they would always choose to touch. If it was an either-or situation, they would starve.
Absolutely. I know exactly what you're
talking about. And choose to touch because that's what we're here to do. And that kind of goes back to the Egyptian religion, which we were talking about, that we are a soul in a body, and that soul has a purpose. We have a story, and that plays out through our body and through the magnetic energy that we exchange with one another. And maybe a lot of people that are listening might have done The Secret, the movie or the book, The Secret, that talks about how energy, we can call forth situations in our life. So it's not even just intimacy, it's also about quality of life and really getting more of what you want in your life by accessing these powerful energies that flow between people and that flow between you and the rest of creation. And I'm very into the whole sending, receiving consciously. If we have a choice, I mean, because we're always sending and receiving energy, always, even when we're sleeping. And you know, if you let this happen, that's what people talk about tantra and tantric sex. When you fall in love, all of those seven chakras that you were speaking of, Tamara, are engaged. And that's why we feel so good. When we actually, quote-unquote, fall in love, all of those seven energy centers are activated. And so that's why if you are loving someone and you want to get that feeling back, or maybe you're alone and you're single and you're working on cultivating it for yourself, you've got to get those energy centers fired up and radiating and glowing with energy and power. You can do this alone, and then, of course, you can do it with someone. And when I discovered this, I was astonished, because things that had always seemed to be happening to me, I suddenly could sort of understand and engage and start to make things happen. And I say, oh, my heart chakra feels sad today. What are some things I can do to feel in my heart again? Or in my practice, I do a lot of sacred sexuality guiding, where I actually teach people about this. And I'm astonished at how many people have had to let go of that red ray. There's so much guilt, shame, and fear around sexuality, so many blocks to sharing that part of who we are, and then we lose that power. 70% of our life force energy is flowing in at the tailbone, at the base of our spine. We know that bioenergy in the medical field, you know, this is called neurology, and it's the energy, they refer to it as bioenergy. These Eastern systems refer to the same energy as chi, ki, prana, kundalini, and if you're a Star Wars fan, may the force be with you. But this is the energy of life. And so rather than letting it just happen to us, I really invite everyone listening to start thinking about, well, maybe I will tap into my energy, and instead of letting it just happen, I'm going to put my conscious mind, my will, put my heart behind it, and start to really consciously play with and create with the energy that's flowing through me.
Tracy, I love that. So is that correct? Did I hear you right, that 70% goes through the root chakra?
Yeah, somebody asked me, well, I read this years ago. I'm going to have to find the quote. But it makes sense. We all took biology in school, and we know that the spine is, it distributes energy throughout the whole system. Mm-hmm. And you know, if we think of ourselves as an appliance, that's not very fun or sexy, but we are. We are an electrified, I don't want to say a bag of water, but we are mostly water with some bone structure, and then this energy flows through us. And, of course, we can be disconnected from the energy. If we completely disconnect from being plugged into the power of the universe, of course, we've passed on. We've passed away because we lost that energetic flow that comes from the universe through our body. And so you can become unplugged from this energy source. You can also have diminished flow. And if someone has become completely unplugged, we're going to be saying prayers, having a memorial service, you know, they've passed on to the other side. Mm. But those of us that are here listening and thinking about this concept of energy, we can have diminished flow, blocked chakras. People will hear about blocked chakras, chakras that are unbalanced, where we've got too much flowing in one area and not enough energy flowing in another area. It's kind of like a valve system, and you want to have all those energy centers flowing freely with this energy and light. And if you, let's say you get your heart broken, and it happens to everyone at some point in their life, you'll have heartbreak. And during that time, it's going to be hard to feel anything. And what happens, this is also relates to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which I'm sure, being a professor, you know this. But, we focus on survival then. It's like it takes so much energy just to get out of bed and find something to eat for breakfast and then get dressed and go to work. We're just in that survival mode. And so, and that really happens when our heart's broken. We can't even feel anymore. And so, and what happens is, if our heart is broken and we're in that survival mode, we really lose our joy. You know, we lose the joy of living. Now, another energy center that can be blocked is the root, which we were talking about. This is, I don't like the word genitals, but it's the proper word. It doesn't sound sexy. I like root. It sounds like something powerful is happening there.
You call it, like yoni and the
yoni
wand.
And lingam, yes. Lingam. It's Sanskrit.
I love that.
Yes, when you take up sacred sexuality practices, one of the main concepts comes out of India, and the word is tantra. And tan means loom, like when you weave fabric on a loom, and tra is tool. So tantra is a loom tool. And the main energy, the most powerful energy center for this bioenergy is the root. And so these practices allow us to open up that flow. And I see so many, I'm going to talk about health just for a second for the guys. But when men don't move that energy at the roots, it can cause a great deal of, they can have prostate issues. I've had a practice for 12 years now, and the men that are in their 20s, the biggest problem that they have when they're dealing with sexuality is premature ejaculation. That energy just moves too fast. Once they get next to a partner, someone they're attracted to, the energy just moves quickly. Then when they get to their mid-30s, early 40s, and beyond, if you're a young man, you're always saying, down boy, not now, you know, this isn't the right time to be having this erection, this isn't the right, you know, I shouldn't be having this. So young men are always having to deal with this incredible power, and they're saying, down boy, not now. Then you get into your 30s and 40s, and you've been saying, down boy, all this time, and your body starts to respond and say, okay, fine, I won't flow a lot of power there. And then what do we have? We have erectile dysfunction, a loss of magnetic power. And then you get into your 50s and 60s and beyond, and you're looking at prostate issues. And what all of these things have in common, the number one problem for men with sexuality is, bing, not enough sex, not enough energetic movement. We're meant to have a lot of power flowing through that energy center, and men are just not given access. And this might be a great time to talk to Ghazi, because he guides men, women, and couples in his practice about this. When you have a diminishment there, or the energy's moving too fast, maybe he'd like to comment on that, because that's one of his areas that he.
You know what, Tracy? Yes, thank you. Let's bring Ghazi on up to the mic. Ghazi, here you are with us, huh?
Yes.
Wonderful. Welcome to Max and Friends. We're happy to have you on the show. As you've heard, your mom and I have been talking. Yes, let's hear a little bit from your perspective. And for our listening audience, let's just say, guys, that Ghazi is Tracy's son. So, Ghazi, welcome.
Thank you again. For sure that this energy that she's speaking of, speaking from a man's perspective, which is what I can do, is very, very powerful. And, you know, it's a real major subject for up in life, because, you know, as young boys, we learn about sexuality kind of maybe through pornography, or asking our friends, or hearing about maybe our parents, or, you know, just hearing things on TV, seeing things. And so we really don't learn how to harness and guide that energy. We kind of just experiment with it as we grow.
Sure.
And I mean, it's very strong. If anyone can remember, you know, their first time being intimate and kind of going to second base and third base, I know for me, that energy was literally about to pierce through my jeans. It was so strong. Like, it's about to rip denim. And that's just a powerful thing. And as a youngster, you know, not learning how to breathe through that, or not learning the difference between a man and a woman energetically, and how you should be holding space for her, and how kind of the different climaxes. Men are like, you know, one thought, we're more visual, one thought we can have an erection. But when we learn how a woman works, you know, it's not exactly that process. It's more of a making love to her from all four corners of the room and working your way in. So we're very opposite in that way. And so, learning about that, we kind of have to have our...
Now, Ghazi, you said, I just want to back up 1 minute, because you said something really, really, really powerful. What do you mean when you said holding space for her?
Right. Well, I think that kind of, where as a man we have to question ourselves and decide how much we really love our women, because we don't want to, and I see this in society when I do work with couples, you know, men, and this is speaking in generalities, but we're on the verge of getting cut off, right? And so we need to learn how to hold space for our women. And what that means to me is, yeah, we have that urge, that desire to be with them, to weave our energy, to be close to them, to be inside of them, dare I say. And that's the most intimate and powerful thing we can do. But how is that fair to her? Like, we have to take the time and understanding of who she is and how she operates. And, you know, our society is so geared to now, push, more. And I think that we kind of take that into the bedroom, and especially even when we add the sex and the advertising and alcohol and these other types of scenes where most people have sex, we're not necessarily having the consciousness to hold space for each other. And so as a man, you know, we might think, oh, wow, I just gave her the best couple minutes of her life, but to fill her up more and to kind of warm her engines up and get her going, you know, to me, you want to be making love to her throughout the day, you know, starting with the letter on the pillow, a call on the text throughout the day, hi, honey, I can't wait to see you tonight. And that's kind of what she deserves in her process, to
Bingo.
Fill her heart and body for that.
Bingo. You just said it, Ghazi. That is so powerful. Making love is not just in the bedroom. It is that note on the pillow. It is that call in the day. It is that look in your eye when you look at her. You know, I am healed when my husband holds a gaze with me, when he holds my hand, when he rubs my back. All is well with my soul. I mean, there is something so beautiful about the entire experience of making love. You know, that just, you know, the actual act of the, of sex is that almost like the cherry on top of the sundae. It's like you're building the entire sundae, you know, with loving acts along the way. Would you say that's true?
I would totally say that's true. And it starts with really just like all relationships, communication and being able to have the intimacy and that authenticity with each other and look each other in the eyes and express and maybe explore if you don't know what it is that gets you going like that and what makes you feel that way, but explore that. And, you know, well, I don't know. Women are just such a priceless thing. And, you know, for so many years, for my whole lifetime, it seems like growing up in society, like we were manipulating each other, and we really fit together so well. Like it gives me as a man energy to serve my woman and to be, or my man. I mean, we want to just to serve my lover. Really, like it's not about men and women. It's about the energies that we possess. Like for me, I'm kind of a guy's guy, more of a jock type. Like I'm pursuing a pro basketball career, but. I have to admit and embrace that I have a feminine side, and I think that that's important that I do. And for some guys, you know, it's more the other way. They're maybe more feminine than masculine, and the same is for ladies. And that's just the human experience. So when we can be real with ourselves and kind of know who we are and communicate that, now we're able to bounce that energy off with each other back and forth and help guide each other to our pure bliss.
Oh,
and
could so
I could I comment on one thing about holding space, too?
Yes, please, Tracy.
Okay. There's a basic idea here going back to the chakras. And overall, men outflow with this life force energy, and women are more built to receive. So men and women are sending and receiving energy all the time. But the way the Creator made it is that men tend to outflow more and women tend to receive and ground that energy. Women take energy in from the man. And so one thing that I've noticed, men can sometimes, they'll say, well, I really thought she wanted to have sex and then she got mad at me or she wasn't satisfied. And there's this thing where men hold space by giving choice to the woman, and the way you do this is you make what you do is, it, let's say you're touching and you're making out, and you're at that place where you're about to actually have sex. You're actually going to connect your bodies. What, especially on a first time with someone, what I've observed is that when men disconnect from the woman at the moment, let's say you're about to make love and it's your first time, instead of just flowing on into it, how a man can hold space and make the woman feel really honored is by disconnecting, actually not touching her body just for a moment and saying, you know, we're about to be lovers and I want to make sure that this is right for you. So I'm going to go get us a glass of water or whatever. And you literally disconnect. I know this sounds hard, guys, because you're almost there and you're about to go in and have that beautiful experience. But the woman will feel that you're honoring her if you simply say, I really want this. You're beautiful. I want to have this experience. But I want to make sure that it's all right with you, that you really are ready and this is right for you. So I'm going to go get us a glass of water and I'm going to leave you for a minute. And when I come back, I'm either going to, we'll snuggle, we'll cuddle, I can give you a foot rub, or we can make love, but it has to be your choice. Your
wow.
choice. Because what I've learned is that when a man is touching a woman with his passion, that passion enters her body, and then what he wants is flowing through her body. And she's not really feeling what she wants. She's feeling his passion. Literally, the energy and power from him is flowing into her body as they're touching. So to hold space and really give her her power to say yes, no, maybe, you know, I think I'd just rather hold hands. I'd rather snuggle. When a woman is given back that power by her partner in that choice, female choice is what separates us from animals. I tell you, it's
right.
true. And so,
I like
Ken, do you want to comment on that?
I second my experience. I've actually had women thank me for not pursuing and giving them that choice. And they said, you know, if we would have kept going, there's no way I could have said no because your touch felt so good or I was too much in that moment. But maybe for them in their life overall, maybe it wasn't right for them. So, you know, to give them that choice is very important. You know, that's kind of where as men we got to realize and honor and understand that women are the gateway for that. Women do have, they are the ones that make that decision. So we, like you said, it's their body, so we want to make sure we honor. They're the ones that are going to decide yes or no. I mean, we don't want them to feel that we're, you know, taking it. And that's kind of where I think this has gone the last couple thousands of years and where we've lost respect for that. And that's where, you know, what our practice is to teach that and make sure people are treating each other nicely in that way.
Wow, that is so beautiful. I love what both of you guys said because literally I view our womb is like the gateway to, it's like the womb of God, you know, it's like entering into a universe all of its own. And it's either the door's wide open or it's cracked open or it's slammed shut. And you can probably prevent some gag reflex, you know, if you're like, hey, are you here? Are you with us? You know, are you experiencing the synergistic golden light that's available in a symbiotic, synergistic relationship that allows for that, there to be no break in the flow of orgasmic pleasure. And so that both of your bodies can be writhing together. And I don't know, you guys tell me about this, what you think of this, because I think it's different for a woman than it is for a man as far as her receptivity or her openness, her availability, whether it's with her body or her heart or all of her chakras. For me, it's when I feel the most secure, when I feel that this is like, hey, you are with me. We are in this. You are, when my husband says, you know, you are my wife, you're my husband. I mean, there is something that is so secure in that for me that there's nothing that wants to hold back when I feel that safety.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who teaches female ejaculation, and she said and she's done it for 20 years, and she said the number one thing that allows a woman to experience female ejaculation is safety and security.
Yes.
Security, because we are such complex energy beings, and if we don't feel safe, everything shuts down, and our partner then cannot access the heavenly energy that's within our bodies. I will say this for men, whether you've got a partner or you want a partner, I highly recommend two things. Getting a massage table. In the temple, we refer to this as the altar of light, but get a massage table and get some raw or cold-pressed coconut oil and begin to look at giving your partner whole-body touch. Because if you will lovingly put oil on her body and hold back from being sexual, stay away from those knobs and dials for 20 minutes, you know, and let your partner just feel that loving touch in your hands for 20 minutes, guys. 20 minutes. That is the number one thing that you can do to let your lady drop out of her mind into her body. She'll feel that. It's not even a conversation. It's happening with touch and energy. That's the number one thing that I think, if I could tell any couple or anybody who wants to have a lover, invest in a massage table. And you can get them on Craigslist sometimes for $100, $50. Someone went to massage school, they don't want to be there anymore. So it's not even an expensive investment. But this is the number one tool for better sex that I would encourage everyone to think about getting. In the temple, we refer to this as whole body healing. And there's a really great book called Brain Sex. Mm-hmm. And it's a conversational overview of 200 gender studies. And in one of the gender studies talks about how we physiologically are ready for sex. Men are ready for sex in seconds. But what they determined in this one study was that women take a full 20 minutes before their body. There's over 100 things that happen in a woman's body before she's ready for penetration. 100 different physiological, hormonal changes that occur between the moment when she first says, wow, maybe I'm going to have sex, and then her body's actually ready. It takes her 20 full minutes. And what I think is even more interesting than it takes 20 minutes is what happens if you penetrate her sooner than the 20 minutes of touch and foreplay. What happens is her energy system shuts down, and you're going to have to work 3-4 times as hard to get to that orgasm. And the scientists that were involved in this particular study, they believed that it was an evolutionary response to rape, that a partner who won't take that 20 minutes of touching, eye gazing, whatever, to prepare her body and be in relationship with her in places other than the root, that shutting down of all her systems makes her less likely to conceive, and she's certainly less likely to, freely share the beauty of that feminine energy, which in the end empowers the man. You know, when a man can light up a woman, he's going to feel like the king of the world.
Yes. Yeah. It's part of that peacock, part of that ostrich, not ostrich, but the peacock that feels his power. One of the questions that came in here was, how exactly do the energies flow back and forth between the male, the female, the male to the male, just lovers in general? How does that energy flow?
There's a really, if people can imagine, in the body, there are 6 channels of flow, and then the 7th chakra is called the crown, and it actually floats right above your head. It's not in your body, but it's connected to your energy body, but it actually floats above your head. So you've got 6 energetic channels of flow, and 3 of them flow in. They take energy in from the universe, And three of them return energy. That is, they flow out. So you've got three inflow and three outflow. And we tend to be attracted to a partner who's got the opposite setting. So you might be, it can be male-female, but it can be male-male, female-female, because one partner is going to be outflowing at the root, and we could speak of it in the most sort of common term. It might be male, and then the woman is inflowing at the root. So guys flow out with power, and women ground or receive that energy in the red ray. Then when you get to the belly, which is the second chakra, the orange one, women flow out with power. Think of a pregnant woman who's 9 months with child. She's got a huge erection. You know, she's flowing out with power. Mm-hmm. Women are naturally born to nurture life. And guys receive that nurturing, that mothering, homey energy. And when you have a gay or lesbian couple, you're probably going to see one of those two people who's more of a homebody. They're more of a nester. They're more concerned about, you know, who picked up the dry cleaning and what are we having for dinner. They're really nesting. They're taking care of the physical body. Then in the third chakra, it switches again. So every other one is inflow, outflow, and men and women are opposite in this way. So in the third chakra, men flow out. That strong sense of identity for a man, it starts inside, and then who he is flows out of his solar plexus, his yellow ray. Now, women, in the sense of identity, what we might call ego or sense of self, it's an inflow channel. Women actually get their sense of who they are from everybody else. And that's why we're always, you know, checking in with each other. And I would tell this to any man or any person who has that male setting, that your partner, she needs to be, if you are just looking at her and saying, I see you, babe, I see who you are, I know what we're up to here together, and you shine, you let her know who she is to you. And it's not just with words, it's really a soulful witness. It's actually energy flowing out of the solar plexus, which is that energy center that's just below your rib cage. And this is where the seat of the soul, your soul resides here as well. So men flow out in the solar plexus, the identity, and women flow in. Mm-hmm. A story that I used to tell in my classes is, let's say that you come home from work and you got a voicemail that says there's one of your kids is in trouble at school. Now, the guy will be like, what? My kid's not going to be in trouble. I'm going to get down there and fix this. I'm going to find out who influenced him. I'm going to get to the bottom of this, and it's never going to happen again. Someone just messed with his identity, and he's going to go fix it. But for the woman, she'll take that same information, the mother will, and she'll get that news that her child is in trouble at school, and she'll make it all about her. Oh, I'm a bad mother. What did I do? I give him homemade lunches. I volunteer at the library every Wednesday. I've done everything to be a good mother. How could he do this to me? This means I'm not a good mother. Do you see how that's different right there?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so these chakras, all of these chakras, really, when we start to understand this inflow-outflow, and that we really are opposite, it's a really great template for how to relate to each other. Then you get to the heart. Women outflow in the heart, and men receive love from their partner. So men inflow in the heart, women outflow in the heart. And if you think of Madonna and how she had that, I'll never forget this image, it was that hitchhiking image, and she's got the cone bra. Well, women have a huge outflow in the breasts and heart. We just do. We flow out with love. Mm. And then you get to the fifth chakra, and women flow in with truth and communication, and men take their truth, and it starts inside of them, and they put it out to the world. And this isn't about how much you talk. We know that women love to talk. Women use way more words every day than men. But this is about the quality of truth, what's true to your soul. And what's true for a man starts inside of him, and then he'll put it out to the world. He'll give speeches. He'll invent things. He'll run a race for men. Truth is something that's out here where we can measure it and quantify it, and their truth can succeed over maybe someone else's truth. For women, what's true, what's real, what's authentic is an inflow. So women are very interested in hearing a man's truth and then commenting and saying, well, yes, honey, you're right, or no, I don't think we should do that. And she may not even have a reason. She just knows that his truth doesn't taste right to her. It doesn't, you know, this is an energy thing. Now, when we get back to the sexuality, notice how the roots, the men flow out, women flow in. You get to the fifth chakra, which is the mouth and throat area, and check it out. When we're in the 69 position, men are outflowing with the tongue, their breath, their lips. Men, you have an outflowing electrical charge with your lips, your tongue, and your breath, and women receive. And so when we're making love, we have a positive-negative connection at the root and then where we kiss and share information. And then when we're in 69, if you flip it, it still works. What a perfect design. I think we should have a big high five to the engineers because however we're doing it, it energetically worked. So.
Wow. Tracy, thank you so much. That is such a highlight for us to end on. You know, I can't even believe how fast the show has gone by. That's how much we're in the flow. That's how much it's like we could keep going on for a couple more hours. But what you said was so golden. Tracy and Ghazi, we cannot thank you enough. As we are wrapping up this show, give us one more nugget. How would you capsulize what you just said, Tracy? And then, Ghazi, how would you capsulize in what you'd like to leave for our listening audience in just a few words?
I would just like to tell people that energy can either happen to you or you can decide that you want to sense your energy flow and really start to learn about that, and then you can make things happen. You can create the life you want. You can make love in the way that you want. If you are already connected with someone and you've lost that pizzazz, you can use the chakras to get that magnetic connection going again and to make your relationship strong.
That is beautiful. Thank you for that, Tracy. Ghazi, let's hear from you.
Okay, and once again, thanks for having us. It's been really wonderful, and I agree, it could go on forever. It's a big topic. But what I like to share with people is to be authentic with yourself. And, you know, I'm a very spiritual, very sexual being. I think we all are. And when I was younger, you know, I was, for lack of a better term, you know, screwing like a rabbit. And it wasn't until that I was like, I kind of almost had my fill of being, you know, selfish in that way. When I was like, wait a minute, you know, my lover's being here with me during all these times and I'm just taking. So what I want to encourage everybody to do is, if you're with yourself, work on that, that self-love and being able to cultivate so you can overflow your cup for somebody else. And if you're with the partner already, put them first. Like, I don't think I became a good lover until I wanted to share their bliss and give their bliss and help facilitate their bliss. Like, you have to put your lover first, you know, especially as a man, because like we said, we can get an erection within a thought, within a second, and we all know the issues that we deal with as men. So take the time, breathe, you know, create the space and really put her first, really put him first and vice versa, and just take care of each other.
Wow, Ghazi, thank you so much. Tracy and Ghazi, words of wisdom from the mouth of babes and from the mouth of his mom and from God's heart to our heart. You know, leave yourself open to love and be able to say no to what doesn't serve. And what you focus on, attention goes, results show. Know, people, that you are the manifestors of what you're experiencing in life. Put out what you want back, and more will flow to you.
Can I give you one compliment? My sister and her husband attended one of your weekend seminars for lovers, and they said it really changed their relationship. It would transform their relationship. So I really want to say thank you for that. I'm passing on a thank you from my family to yours. Yes.
Oh, guys, thank you so much. It was my pleasure, and you are so welcome. And I just want to breathe that in because we're receiving. We're receiving,
yes,
and we're giving, right? You know, for every receiver,
yes,
there's got to be a giver. So God bless you,
yes,
people out there. Keep loving yourselves. Keep loving each other. Let's send a big love to Max out there and bless
him.
Hey, Max. Hey, Max. We love you, brother. Okay, guys. Everybody have a great night. Ronan, what are we listening to?
Max and Friends. He says what he wants. Ain't holding nothing back.